would speak to us directly. Lord, we need your new speaking. Give us all an ear to hear your word and your voice. Amen. Thank you for your fresh and current speaking to us. Oh, give us the right medicine this morning. Lord, speak your word into our hearts. We do not want to fear man. Amen. We don't want to be rebellious to what you say. We want to be obedient. Father, we thank you for the word in Isaiah. You are really the mighty God, wonderful counselor. Only your word can tell us what you spoke 2,700 years ago. We thank you for your supply, for your healing, for your revelation, for your grace and your mercy that you have shown us in these days. To you be all honor. Sanctify us through and through. Prepare us, equip us, so that we can go on and so that we can execute your work here on earth. In North America, South America, Southeast Asia, Father, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Oh, Lord, together we pray, gather the ones who have escaped. Gather the remnant that has remained for yourself, Father. We praise you. Carry it. Fulfill your word with each one of us. Thank you again, Father.
We praise you and thank you. The Lord switches between showing us the judgment and exposing our condition. And on the other hand, he gives us the medicine and shows us the way to be healed. Just as a best physician, on the one hand, he shows us what our condition is and how serious it is. Then what will happen if we don't let ourselves be healed? There'll be the death and the judgment. But on the other hand, he shows us what we lack when we come to him. There is a healing. There's a wonderful solution. And this solution is his son, as the branch of the Lord, so living, a wonderful Christ. As we have read, but if we don't want to listen and obey him, there will be consequences, and they're very serious consequences. That's why we see how merciful and yet how righteous our God is. God will not just allow everything to happen, but he will judge seriously. And we see that God is very thorough in his judgment. Until all the shadow of silver is taken away, till everything is burnt away. Dross. Nothing will be left over. The judgment will be with fire. We all have to have this healthy fear of the Lord. Otherwise, one day, we will come face to face before the judge. And what a terror. We'll experience a terror. We see all this here. There's healing, there's salvation. Remember, Yahweh. He is our Savior. He is our salvation. But the salvation is not just to save us, but to heal us. That's why the Lord also said, this people, if they only wanted to hear it and grasp it, and if they harden, then I will heal them. He didn't say I will save them, but I will heal them. To save is to come out of a situation. Heal. To heal is to make us healthy on the inside. I don't just want to be saved, I want to be healed. Don't we all want to be healthy, be made healthy, be healed? It's so wonderful. And this is the wonderful salvation. What a Lord we have! We must all grasp this and lay hold of this. It makes healthy. It makes us healthy. Aren't we all a little bit more healthy than we were before? Before we came? Hallelujah. I can testify that I feel much healthier. I'm full of joy, peace. I am free. I've been set free. Surely the truth not only makes us healthy and heals us, but also sets us free. Mucha. Hallelujah. And the proof is the snow outside. The blessings from the heaven. All the enemy must flee. And we, his bride, are enjoying the booty or the bounty. Praise the Lord. Hasten the booty. And then the snow fell from Zalman. Wonderful. It's all excellent. We have to thank the Father. Praise the Lord. It's good to see snow, right? You don't see it in Africa. Praise the Lord. So in chapter 10, we see, after we have seen such a Christ, we have to see another continuation from chapter 5, which is his wrath. We cannot forget the wrath of the Lord. So often we forget it. We don't have a good memory for these things. On the other hand, for other things, we have a very good memory. If someone offends you, you'll remember it for eternity. Hopefully, when the Lord comes, you won't remember it anymore. But I'm not so sure about it. But praise the Lord. We all have to have his anger before our eyes. And that's also what Paul did. We knew that he wrote, before the judgment seat of Christ, he never forgot the terror of the Lord. And this is good. It makes us healthy. That prevents us from doing things that we should not do. But we will leave it. The love to the Lord is important, but also the terror of the Lord is also important. We need both. Truly. On the one hand, the love towards him is very positive. On the other hand, because we have the flesh, we have ourself, still have ourself, and this fallen poison which is in us. We also have to know the terror of the Lord and not forget it. It will preserve us. Praise the Lord. And continuing on, after we have seen such a wonderful Christ, the Lord continued to write his word against Jacob. Lord Jesus, the entire people shall know it. Ephraim and the, let's see, where are
we?
You know, people say, it doesn't matter if we're dead. He'll make us alive again. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it bad enough that we're dying? Oh, it doesn't matter. I can kill him now. There's going to be resurrection. It doesn't matter. Do you think that's a good excuse to kill you? Why did you kill him? It doesn't matter. There's going to be resurrection later. That's what people think. It doesn't matter. You can do this. It doesn't matter. The Lord will forgive us. Oh, it doesn't matter. The Lord is outside. See Revelation? Revelation 22. The Lord testifies, is still testifying to the churches. It doesn't matter. We have to really despise this attitude. We have very strange speakings or sayings. Oh, it doesn't matter if he dies. He will resurrect again. You see, when we read the word, we have to compare it to our experience, or look at the experience from others and learn from their experience. Otherwise, we'll never grow to full maturity. We all have to learn this, young people. Learn. I can't do anything more. The figs, but we want to replace cedars, chapter 9, verse 10, but we will replace them with cedars. Oh, it doesn't matter. Everything will be fine. That is the speaking of the false prophet. They give you not a real peace. It's a false peace, a false hope, and they're deceiving you. Oh, Lord. Verse 11, therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on. You can deceive man and pretend to do something in front of them, but you cannot do that before the Almighty One. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind. They have a lot of tools in their hand. And they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. Not just partially open, but in full. Israel will be devoured. For all this, his anger is not turned away. That's not even enough. The Lord has a great appetite. He will not be satisfied very quickly. But his hand is stretched out still. He's still going to punish some more. Verse 13, for the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Can you imagine? Even so, they're so stiff-necked. We are so stiff-necked. We think, oh, it doesn't matter. We'll just keep going. God is merciful. You only know one side of God. You have to know the many sides of God. Therefore, the Lord will cut off head and tail from Israel. Praise the Lord. He'll do that, and we already spoke about that. Verse 15, the elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. Then the Lord says, for the leaders of this people cause them to err. And now they still think that we are appointed by God. If God appointed, then he can also unappoint them. Unseat them. This is what we can see in Daniel. He appoints and can remove someone. Appoint and remove. Appoint and remove. Appoint and remove. Like a seesaw. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men. Look, in the end, all the young men will go into the world. They'll climb mountains, go skiing, slide down from the top to the bottom, as if they haven't already slidden down enough. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm... Lord Jesus. Nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. Everyone is drawn in. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. Do you think that we're not like that today? I know these words are not comfortable. The people say, you see, he's angry again. I'm just reading. I am not interpreting. There's nothing to interpret. How are you going to interpret hypocrite, evildoer, and one who speaks folly? We don't need to interpret that. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And in the end, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Romans, they came like bees, and the flies, the Lord whistled to them. The Lord can also whistle. Do you think only we can whistle? We human beings can whistle? And his whistle is very loud. Once he whistles, then the whole world will hear it, and all the nations will hear it, and they will react, and they will come. So in the beginning of chapter 10, The Lord took his tools, and he also has destruction tools, weapons, destructive weapons. And he calls them from everywhere. And the last battle will be in Armageddon. And he gathered all the armies of the whole world, just as the grapes in the wine press, and pressed them. You can read that. On the one hand, God uses them to destroy his horrible, godless people. And then he will also destroy the nations to judge his people. They're just exactly as bad. The Lord will bring his terror upon the whole earth. And they will show the whole earth his terror. You can read this by yourself. But from verse 20, chapter 10, verse 20 is the best part. Chapter 10, verse 20. Verses 20 to 23, or maybe even 24. Or 25. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob, will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. That means in reality. Praise the Lord. The remnant will return. The remnant of Jacob to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Praise the Lord. A remnant. How many times does he say that? The escape, the remnant, the remnant, the remnant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. In these 3 verses, in these 4 verses, you see, you don't think that God will save everyone. No. We deceive ourselves, or as always, in error. They hear and hear and hear, but they did not understand or perceive. They see and did not understand or perceive. Their heart is hardened, not healable. It's waiting for judgment. Then we're going to skip to chapter 11. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you. In the end, we see the coming of the Messiah King, his return. There shall come forth a rod from the stem. Oops. Everything will be destroyed, and then suddenly it'll begin to blossom again or sprout. A shoot. It's from the stem of Jesse. God is very, very specific, which is exactly according to his promise. A branch shall grow out of his roots. Praise the Lord. God will make everything new. Make everything new. He's not going to repair the old stuff. We like to fix or repair stuff. I don't know if you like to repair things. We like to mend things. Maybe you won't mend your or fix your car. You'll throw it away and you'll get a new car. But somehow you want to always mend the church. Mend it here, mend it there, fix it there. But you don't mend your own shoes. You throw it away and put new ones on. But the church life, you always want to repair this and repair that. The more you repair, the worse it gets. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's wonderful. This wonderful Holy Spirit. And in Revelation, it is sevenfold. It's perfect because of the number seven, the seven spirits of God before his throne. It's so wonderful. That means the Holy Spirit is not only strengthened, but fully sufficient, fully perfect. You can't add anything to him. It's fully sufficient for God's work and to fulfill God's work to the end. What a spirit! Today we all have to learn to describe this wonderful spirit. And here, actually, there are just a few important aspects described here. The list is very long. It probably reaches down from the heaven down to the earth. That's how long the list is. But here, there's just one verse. But it is also good for us. The spirit of wisdom. What kind of wisdom? From below? Your human wisdom, our human wisdom, might be sufficient to do your master's or get your PhD or your bachelor's. It would be sufficient. You just have to be diligent, study, do your homework. It should be enough. But I want to tell you this morning, to all of you, especially for the young people, for the work of the Lord, it's not worth anything, your human wisdom. Not only is it not worth anything, it's useless. To do God's work. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? Can someone read that to me? Right in the beginning. Chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom." Yes. Wasn't he a wonderful student from Gamaliel? Didn't he learn a lot from Gamaliel? He was the best professor at that time, or not? But Paul considered it as dung, as dirt. Continue, please. As dung. Stand up. "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Continue. "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Thank you. You have to read this 1,000 times and let it be written into your hearts, especially when you serve, if you want to serve the Lord. Paul had such an attitude and reality and practiced it. And that's how he carried out the ministry of the Lord. How much more us? Do you think if I came with human wisdom, like Chinese wisdom is Confucian wisdom? What do we want? What do we want to do? Understand with philosophy, with your own human mind? So everything is tohu bohu today. So much confusion. Everyone does what he thinks. He thinks he knows better, and so on. And where is the word of God? There's so much human wisdom. People counseled with one another, thought about this according to this and that. Get rid of that. That's human wisdom. And James said that human wisdom is earthly and demonic, soulish. Please read that. We have to be afraid of this. This is wisdom from below, not from above. Please, did you find it? He who is wise among you. Chapter 3, verse 13. Let him show by good and conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. But is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Let's say it again. And let's say it and keep it in our head. But is earthly, sensual, demonic. That is the wisdom from below. And do you want to use this wisdom to do God's work? Tell me. You? Is that not terrible? Then from where should our wisdom come? From above. And what is the wisdom from above? But the wisdom from above is it smartness? No. Firstly, it's pure. This is wisdom. If someone is wise, then this wisdom from above, the most important thing is that it would make you pure. Because if you are not pure, then everything else is nothing. That is wisdom. Continue. Is first pure, then peaceable. Peaceable, praise the Lord. Then, gentle, big-hearted. It's not so narrow. He's going to take my position. If you say that to me, I will say, here, I'm going to give it to you. Willing to yield. Continue. Willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Good fruits. Without partiality. Isn't that wonderful? And without hypocrisy. Such wisdom. We need that wisdom from above. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Generous. You will think, oh, the wisdom from above is so much teaching and give you teaching, doctrine, and good messages. That's the wisdom from above. That's the wrong list. The wrong list. This means that God cares more for your being than what you can do. We want to have a gift for speaking. We want to be powerful. We want to be able to argue well. We want to have all these things, but in the end, we're corrupted. What's all this use? What's the use of this kind of wisdom? Be reasonable. Praise the Lord. And if someone is lacking such wisdom, James says, go to the Father who would pour this wisdom out upon you. He wishes that we have such an appetite for the heavenly wisdom. That is the real wisdom. And this has to do with our daily walk. Everywhere. This wisdom applies to the family, to the work, in the church, in relationship to one another, relationship to the Lord. It's very wonderful. We need this wisdom. And today, this wisdom is in this wonderful Holy Spirit for us. Otherwise, what do you understand as spirit of wisdom? Oh, I understood this verse, that verse, and I can interpret this well. For you, that is wisdom. What should we do? What should we do? Brother Osi? Ask him for this wisdom, and God will tell you, I already give you this wisdom in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Is that not wonderful? Praise the Lord. This is very, very important. You know, today, many people speak about spirit, 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 but what kind of a spirit? I tell you, don't emphasize the human spirit. Our human spirit means nothing without the Holy Spirit. Is that right? So many years, you talk about the spirit, turning to the spirit, turning to the spirit. Turn to the Spirit. What kind of Spirit? Those who spoke so much about it didn't know their own Spirit. And they tell you, turn to your Spirit. No. Our Spirit is nothing without the Holy Spirit. And if you are really walking in the Spirit, then you have this appearing And the proof is that the Holy Spirit is working, and therefore you have the fruit of the Spirit. Very important. Don't just speak about spirit, spirit, spirit. In the end, it's a German word, Zeitgeist, spirit of the times. Spooks are also spirits. There are different kinds of spirits. Oh, ghosts. Spooks are ghosts. The spirit of wisdom. We need it. We need the proper understanding of the Spirit. The Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of the mind. Be understanding, we often say. Otherwise, many times we don't understand. And that's the problem. You can give or hear thousands of messages and yet still not understand. Why? Because we've been darkened. It said, Ephesians says, their mind was darkened. Of course, if that's the case, then you can't understand. Oh, Lord. And this spirit of understanding, spirit of the mind, also has to renew my mind. Be renewed. By what? Put on the new man by the renewing of the spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means this spirit has to take over my mind by light, with light. It has to shine. It's very important. Have understanding. And 2 Timothy tells us, 2 Timothy verse 7 says that God gave us the spirit of a sound mind. And this spirit, the spirit of the mind, makes my mind sound. And we have to cooperate. We have to learn to say no to all the strange thoughts. No, I don't want that. That's not from the Lord. If I always have these strange, if I always entertain these strange thoughts, and then if I come to read the Bible, do you think you can understand the Word of God? It's impossible. So, being renewed by the spirit of your mind requires our cooperation. You can sit here, but your thoughts might be bringing you to Hawaii or the Caribbean. Yeah, you fly away, not with Lufthansa, but with the wings of your mind. These thoughts can fly all over. They're free. It's free. You don't have to pay anything or pay for a ticket, airplane ticket. Yes. Do you want to understand God's word? Then you need a renewed mind. Your mind needs to be renewed. Then the Spirit can give us the understanding for His word, for what He wants to speak to you, and you can understand it. And for the work of the Lord and for the church life, we need this. In Colossians, what does it say in Colossians? The last verse in chapter 1 says, to present all the saints perfect in man, perfect. We warn every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. I'm sorry, that's chapter 1, verse 28. We teach men in all wisdom. That's wisdom from above, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We need a lot of wisdom. Even when we preach the gospel, we need a lot of wisdom. Every man is different. Yes. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, you alone understand and know this man. How can I open the door of his heart? Lord, you are my wisdom. Show me. There are many problems in the church, maybe. Maybe there are many problems in the church. How will you solve these problems? You have to ask him. Not according to your own mind and good thinking or opinion. If you use your own ways and wisdom to solve the problem, then there'll be a greater tear. The tear will become greater, the problem will become greater. So when Jesus lived on this earth, he used this heavenly wisdom in all cases and answered all the different situations with this heavenly wisdom. And sometimes the best answer was no answer. But your wisdom wants to try to answer all the questions. That's stupidity. You don't have to answer all the questions. Sometimes you also have to learn from the Lord. I won't tell you. I'm not going to tell you. When people ask foolish questions, then what kind of answer are you going to give? You just have to laugh. Haha, okay. That is wisdom from above. Right? To be silent is also wisdom sometimes. Proverbs says, a fool who shuts his mouth and is silent is counted as wise. What kind of a wisdom it is to keep your mouth shut. This is how it is. Let us learn from him. Amen. Teach us. This is a matter of practice. A matter of practice. We open our mouth when it's necessary, and we shut it when it's necessary. Then it says here, the spirit of counsel, the spirit in us will counsel us, just as the anointing teaches us all things. Whether a matter is right or wrong, it's not that you might have seen it right away, but the spirit in you reacts and says that is not right. Maybe you can't explain it right away. There doesn't always have to be an explanation. But this inner sense of the spirit, of the anointing, is often very exacting and hits the point. We have to learn to say amen to what the spirit is telling you. That's already a warning. We don't need to have a policeman on the street telling you this way, that way. You just need a right red light. When you see the red light, you know you need to stop. That's the light doesn't have to say stop. No, you don't hear anything. But as soon as you see a red light, you know it's okay. Everybody knows to stop. Whether it's free, whether there's a car or not, you can say, oh, there's no car, I can still go on. Don't do that. You're going to get a ticket. The light will go off and flash. It's going to be expensive and you'll have to pay. We don't always have to hear something, but inwardly, the red light comes. No, that's not right. But the enemy will always argue with you, and in the end you'll be convinced, okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. The anointing works in this way. You might not understand it right away, but later, surely you'll see. And in this way, the Lord will speak to you. And we all have to learn this. And this is why a spiritual man searches and proves everything. That does not mean that this spiritual man can explain everything. No, but he searches and proves and tests everything. Something's not right. Why? Can you explain it? No. And we have to learn this, and with time you will see that it's very important. And the Spirit in us will counsel us and learn to hear Him. That is important. And of course it's connected to our Lord, who is our counselor. Then we also need might, power, strength. It's not a human natural strength. No. Our might is not able to be used for God's work, but the might, the power from above. That's why the Lord told His disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with the power from above. Because for God's work can only be carried out with God's power. Might. Not the power of horses, not the might of our thighs, not man's hands. Without me, the Lord said, you can do nothing. Then where does our power, our strength come from? God's work is only by His might. That's why He said He did not come out of His own might, but with fear and trembling, that our faith would depend on the Spirit of power, God's power. Then it will also remain and work. Be effective. And the Lord, when He was on this earth, He didn't do things with His own might. It's this Spirit that rested upon Him in those days. So by this might, He carried everything out. That's why He could do mighty things. Cast out demons. Stop the storms. His might is like the... is wonderful. What a wonderful strength. It's the power from above. The might from above. This is all the equipping. Equips this wonderful branch of the Lord. Many say they are the Lord's servants, servants of the Lord, workers. I don't know what kind of workers. Really. Workers. They work. Do work. You don't know, in the end, you don't know what kind of work they're doing. Work. This work. Work. In the end, if I hear a Nigerian say walk, walk, I think it's a Chinese walk for cooking. At the end, the work becomes a walk. They're going to burn up everything there. We have all seen this. Godwin, I have seen enough of that. I can't even smell it anymore. It stinks. If we're going to do it, then we should use the power of God, the might of God. We have to learn this. God's work requires his own might, not the human energy or the flesh or human capability. Did not Zechariah in chapter 4 say, it's not by might nor by power? The children also say, by some kind of capability. That's what the Chinese translation says. But by my spirit, says the Lord. We all know this verse. But when we are in the situation, we use our own muscle, our own shoulders and thighs. And if that's not enough, then we'll bring in a few horses. Lord Jesus, remember Uzziah, in his time, Uzziah, oh, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they were carrying it with the might of oxen. God will not allow that. And what was the result? Death. We have to learn that. Don't just learn the story. Everybody can tell this story. But when it's your turn, you'll use the might of oxen again. Then the spirit of knowledge. When I was young, I loved to read many books. Today I realize these books, unfortunately I don't have a fireplace in my living room, so I can just use my books and it would be enough, sufficient to get some heat and warmth in the winter. A brick oven is a Kachelofen. What use is the human knowledge, the knowledge of the letter, teachings? What is this for? I am tired of knowledge because I saw that it didn't bring forth anything. It didn't matter. This knowledge has to lead us to the living world. To know the living Father by the Son, the leading of the Holy Spirit in such a living way to know Him. It's a very different kind of knowledge. It's a knowledge not from the knowledge of good and evil, the wrong tree as the source, but the sources from the living touching of the living Christ. I realized that that which I knew, it was useless. 40 years. Yearly. Many, many messages. Listening to many messages. Thousands of messages. And what is the result? A tragedy. Chaos. Death. Division. Pride. Today, we have to fear just having knowledge alone. We have to know where the source of the knowledge comes, the origin of the knowledge, the real source or origin has to come from the Spirit. This Spirit is wonderful, but you know, with knowledge also comes the fear of the Lord. And Paul, even Paul, God thought maybe Paul saw so much. God showed him, God brought him to paradise, he brought him to the third heavens. He saw what you normally should not see, what you should not say. He got too much knowledge, not from books. Then God thought, maybe Paul would elevate himself. And so he gave him a thorn in the flesh to tame him. And this is why, with the spirit of knowledge, comes the fear of the Lord. It might be at the end of the list, but the end of the list is the most important thing after you have everything else. And if you miss the last point, you will be in great danger. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you only have 5 points and miss the 6th point, that's not good. In the end, I don't know where we're going to end up. We might end up anywhere. Then it says, His delight is in the fear of the Lord, verse 3. That is his favorite point about the Spirit. If I ask you today, there are 6 points. Mark, which point is most important for you? Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Or which point? Of course, this morning you would say the 6th point. I know. Because you just heard the message. But when you go home and you ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Yeah. Give me understanding or knowledge, or give me knowledge. You'll pray, oh Lord, I need might. You forget the 6th point. You know how I know this? Because I'm exactly like that. We are all the same. We're all the same. If we don't learn it, by the grace of the Lord, if we don't learn it, we'll make the same mistake. Then the result is, as the servant of the Lord, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. It's so wonderful because now you have the inner eyes. Man just looks with the eyes. You only see what you see. That's why we wear glasses. Because we don't see clearly anymore. But I want to tell you, even if you carry 10 glasses, you won't be able to see. You can only see the outward things. And that's why so many people were deceived and led astray. Because they only saw with their outward eyes and ears, but they didn't have the inner ear anymore. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. And how many people will immediately believe a lie just from hearsay? I don't know if it'll work or not, whether after we read these verses, but still, he who has an ear, let him hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. With righteousness and equity, straight. He will be straight. He won't be crooked. The natural man is crooked. The flesh is even more crooked, just like the serpent. I've never seen a serpent that walks straight. A snake that walks straight. That would be a unique, strange view. If you have a snake like that in a zoo, everybody would come just out of curiosity. So this brood of vipers, they all walk crookedly. They are not straight. Make the way of the Lord straight. Make straight the way of the Lord. All these words should be in our hearts. If you are thinking straight, what are you thinking? What verses come to your mind? What comes out of your heart? What comes forth in your heart? Lord Jesus, we don't have much time, right? He shall strike the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. By his spirit, the breath of his lips, by his word. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. You're wearing a belt? Do you wear a belt every day? Every time when you put on the belt in the morning for your pants, you put on your pants, you have to think about his righteousness. If you put on a belt of righteousness, then you need to associate your belt with righteousness immediately. Amen? Otherwise, don't wear a belt. Otherwise, the Lord will pull down your pants. That's as what the Germans say. That means you will be exposed. I'm sorry. It just comes out like that. And faithfulness, the belt of his waist. Righteousness with faithfulness. Wonderful. Such a pair. We have to learn to treasure such a pair. Learn this. If you, as young brothers and sisters, don't learn it now, then the older you get, the harder it's going to be to learn this lesson. In the end, it's almost impossible to learn. Praise the Lord. Then we see the result will be the glory of the thousand-year kingdom. Let's just read and then we'll be finished. And we won't have a second meeting, but it'll be your meeting. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read the title and then the verses. The title is The Glory of the Thousand-Year Kingdom. Verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Wonderful. You see, today, we believers cannot even sit together in peace. Can you imagine that? We're all believers, we're all been born again, but we devour one another. We can't even sit together and speak reasonably with one another. We speak about oneness. Here is the real oneness when the wolf dwells together with the lamb. Otherwise, in the end, the lamb will be devoured. When I read this, I'm put to shame. I'm ashamed. Lord, why can we not live together in oneness, without fighting, without devouring one another? Lord Jesus, that's why we long for the thousand-year kingdom. Lord, come. Lord, come. What a description. When the wolf and the lamb play together, that is real peace, true peace. Or not? We don't have to describe this. It's already written here. You can read it yourself. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Zion will be glorious. 11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant. Again, you see the word remnant. Now it's not to judge, but to gather the remnant. Praise the Lord. To recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart. That's horrible, isn't it? Learn not to be jealous, envious. That is deadly. Jealousy, envy. That made so many people fall. Do not be jealous or envious. Let yourself be healed. And the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. You see, we will rule over the nations with Christ. Praise the Lord. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river, which is the river of Euphrates, and strike it in the seven streams, and make men cross over dry shod. Praise the Lord. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. And where does the highway lead to? To Zion, of course. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It is wonderful. It is wonderful. And now? We came to chapter 12. We did make it. Let's read chapter 12 and let's sing the song. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. That means Isaiah. That is Isaiah. What a salvation. God is our salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord! Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion! For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Amen. Don't we have a song like that? Let's all stand up and sing it. From our hearts and from your whole strength in your lungs. You shall draw waters with joy.
286. Two